Who was your first big celebrity client?
My first big one? I'd say it's... wasn't Robbie. I'd say it was actually Paulie Day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Paulie Day was like the biggest
one. From the Jersey Shore?
Yeah, from the Jersey Shore at the time. Yeah, he was great. And then he started DJing for us. It's even better.
How did that come together?
Actually, I knew Snooki since she was like 14, 15, and she used to come out to like DNA. This place in-
Yeah, kid. Welcome everybody back to another episode of the Handsome Homebuyer Podcast. My name is Charles, aka the Handsome Homebuyer, formerly Captain Perm, but we still love him. 516-513-8838. And obviously, this podcast, every podcast, is sponsored by
Cardinal Financial.
Sal Rizzola. We love him out of the Patchogue office. If you're in real estate and you don't know him, you got to know him. Sal Rizzola, Cardinal Financial, East Patchogue. All right. So this is proof that social media works, right? Now, obviously, I'm an opinionated guy, and the last couple of years, I've been saying, as I get older, and it's sad to say we're yeah. I mean, it's not bad that we're getting older.
No,
but,
not at all.
But we're like, we're almost mid-40s, bro.
Yep.
How does that feel?
Feels good, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, you know, listen, you got to live and learn, right? You know, I learned from my past, and everything I learned from my past, I allocate it to what I'm doing now.
I will say that every decade has gotten better. 20s, like, I had a lot of fun in my 20s, but 20s is like a lot of inner turmoil of trying to figure out who you are, how you fit in the world. 30s, you just stop caring. You're making some money. You've established yourself. 40s, you're finally reached a certain level of success, hopefully, and you really don't care. But then when you start thinking about 50s and above, now you're like, you know, you can't eat ice cream anymore. Your hip goes. You
gotta watch out the sugar levels. Can't drink soda. Can't drink Powerade.
Right. Arthritis.
Yep.
So that's the only thing I'm not looking forward to about getting older. But otherwise, like you said, it's an amazing thing. But obviously, social media is here. Trends change. People change. And when we were kids, we were out every single night party.
Yep.
So in the last couple of years, I'm like, what do these guys do? Like, I ask them all the time. They're 26 years old. I'm like, what do you guys do for fun? Like, do you go out? Like, yeah, we go to bars, we go to here, we go there. But every night was a different night. It was Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We're out at all different clubs, which we'll talk about. So I just, for kicks, I made a video saying, where have all the nightclubs gone? And it blew up, and people started, you know, going at it in the comments. Yep. And you being a very big club promoter, somebody sent it over to you, and you reached out to me, and that's why we're here. So with that said, introduce yourself. Give kind of like the 30-second rundown to everybody about like who you are and what you do.
So my name is John Brizzano. Everybody calls me Breeze. I've been in the nightclub business for over 25 years. I started out of high school. Thought it was you know, a fun thing to do, but ended up being my career for now, you know, during the time. And still doing it. Still involved in it. It's something I love and have passion for. And, you know, I don't want to give it up yet. You know, it's, listen, you always throw parties, have people have a good time and meet each other and socialize with each other and have fun. So I'm still going.
So for all intents and purposes, really, everybody wants to be you. You know that, right?
Yes, like, yes, I do.
All I ever, the only thing I ever wanted to do, which I never got to do, which I guess kind of makes sense because A, I don't drink, and B, I don't know how to make any drinks, is I always wanted a bartend. But I never got to bartend. You are literally that guy who runs every hot spot. Tomorrow is the last night of Body English Tuesdays.
Correct.
Which has been a staple in the nightclub world for the last 14 years, every Correct. Tuesday night.
Yep.
What's going on with the property now?
They're going to knock it down, and supposedly they're putting a shopping mall there.
So, and that's kind of like literally one of the last, if not the last, Long Island spots that's done.
Yep.
So before we get into like how things have changed, I'm curious to know how you ever got into doing something like that.
So I was about 17 years old. I was doing these keg parties for high school. And I used to sell like $5 cups with all the kids that come to the party.
Where'd you grow up?
In Bayside, Queens.
Okay.
So we used to do it at Cunningham Park. We used to throw these keg parties.
Okay.
So I was doing all these keg parties, and we'd have a few hundred people show up buying cups for $5, making all this money. And one day this DJ that worked at Metropolis, his name's Carl Caruso, comes up to me and goes, you ever think about like throwing your own party at a nightclub? And I'm like, listen, I hate nightclubs. Don't ever want to go to them. Never liked them. Went to teen nights. Never liked them. And I did one day for him. Didn't show up. Called me up. He's like, listen, I got an envelope for you. Next thing you know, it was a few hundred bucks. You're like, wow, 17 years old. You're like, this is great. Next thing you know, I started, kept on doing it, making great money, and never wanted to do anything else. It was a fun time.
So basically, your whole job at that point was there's going to be a club, there's a certain night, you just have to get people there.
Yep. And I started doing Metropolis, which was in Queens and College Point.
Yeah.
Had a nice little run there. And then a few years later, went to Zachary's in Chelsea Street. We called it Fire and Ice Thursdays.
Yeah.
It was a college night. You do about like 3,000 people every Thursday, which was great. And then I moved on to the city. And then, you know, just kept on growing and growing. And once you grow to the top, you're at the top and you're the boss. You hire who you want to be involved and everything. And that's where I am today.
So when you say it, it sounds very like casual and very easy, but I'm sure there's a lot of stress that comes with it. But it's, I mean, you're running a business, right?
But running a business.
And you have to get the word. That at that point in time, there was a lot of competition.
Yes.
There was tons of parties every single weekend, every single night, basically, Monday through Friday. How did you spread the word? How did like, why were your parties better? Why did you grow so quickly, and why were they so popular?
I knew that once you got the females there, the guys would follow. And that was always my my thing. It was an easy get-go. Like, you know, listen, let's find the hot girls, the beautiful girls, get them to the parties, and then once everyone knows that these hot girls are there, the guys are going to come, and they're going to spend money. And that's what I did. That's all I focused on, was always getting beautiful women. Made them come to the club. I don't know if you remember, we had a place called South Beach in Long Beach. I don't know if you remember that. It was on Long Beach Road. It was called South Beach, and it used to have the outside with the basketball hoop and the volleyball court.
I do know the place you're talking about. And it was kind of set back a little bit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. And it was funny because my partners at the time were like, listen, how do we draw attention to the South Shore? You know, we got to get the South Shore going. You know, we're always worrying about the city and this place and that place. And I was like, listen, we get the beautiful girls there, the guys are going to come. And that's what we did.
So how did you go about, because for me, when I look at this, it's a business like anything else. It's marketing like anything else. What was the strategy like? How did you get the attractive women there?
Go out there, go to like all the schools, the colleges, all the beauty salons, the tanning salons, give out flyers.
Personally?
Yep.
Or you had runners?
Well, we had both, but you know, personally it was the best way to go about it.
Okay.
People want to see you. People that are going to come to your parties want to see you. They don't want to see a runner give out a flyer and be like, oh, you know, I don't know the guy that's running the party. So I would actually go out and like hand out flyers like anybody else would do, and just built my database from that.
So this was your full-time gig?
It was my full-time gig.
Basically from jump. After you did that first party, it wasn't like a part-time thing. You went straight
just
into
went
it.
Straight right into it.
At 17 years old?
Yep, 17 years old.
You went to college or no?
Yep, went to St. John's.
No shit.
Yep, I used to bombard that school with flyers all day long. It was great. Used to hit all the cars, the parking lot. It was awesome.
How did you make it through college, handle the workload, be out? I mean, we were out basically seven nights a week.
Yeah, 7 nights a week.
And then I guess at a certain point, when you're out promoting, you don't need to go and promote those other places. You're kind of just promoting within your events, right?
Yep.
Is that what happened?
So, you know, listen, I'm a guy that doesn't sleep. I sleep like 3 hours a night. I still sleep three
and
hours.
And you're good.
And I'm good. Time is money. You know, people don't understand that. I always tell people, time is money. And if you want something done, you got to do it by yourself. You know, people that do the job for you is great, but you doing the job for yourself is what really, really helps get where you want. You know, people don't get that. Like, you know, and look, we didn't have social media back then. You know, we used to have dial-up phones. We used to have, you know, we used to call up everybody. You know, I never forget calling people's houses. Like, hey, make sure you're coming, you know. Calling people, like, oh, can I talk to Jenny? Is she home? You know, blah, blah, blah. It's like you had to, you know, work. You had to work at those times.
The crazy part is it wasn't that long ago, bro. It wasn't. It was only like 20 years ago.
Yeah, but, you know, times have changed. Just like, listen, social media took me from a certain level that I was at to, like, over the top. Because I was able to hit the mass now. Like people I wouldn't have to like hand off flyers to or text or call. Like I hit the masses now.
Yeah.
When social media came out. So social media took it to another level.
So at this point, like, is it maintaining and still going on the up, or is like the whole scene kind of on the downswing, or is it only Long Island that's on the downswing?
Long Island's on the downside.
But the city is still crazier than ever.
The city's still crazy, and Jersey is what Long Island was 10 years ago.
Really?
Yep. All those Jersey Shore places are what Long Island used to be, all those, you know, everybody's been going down there now.
So this is obviously a local, like Long Island-based podcast. So in your opinion, like what was kind of the pinnacle of Long Island club scene? And then what happened to kind of bring us down to where we are now?
So I think Long Island got a little spoiled. I think, you know, people took what we had for advantage, you know, and people stopped supporting and didn't like come out every night or what they were doing. You know, people got married, the older crowd got married, and then the younger crowd never really got to experience what we experienced. It's just times have changed. You know, you don't have to go out to a club anymore and meet somebody like we used to. Now it's just a swipe. You don't have to go out to get food anymore. You can just have Uber Eats delivered to the house. It's the same thing, you know, but people don't interact the way they used to interact. Like, I used to have to go out and meet girls, you know, in person, talk to them in person. Now you can just sit there and be like, hey, want to hang out? Oh, you want to go to movies? You want to grab dinner? And it's so much easier.
Do you guys, like, if there was a club, would you guys go to lounges? Would you go to clubs? Is that something that interests you or your friends at all, or is just not your scene?
I have some friends who are into it. I would do it, like, for the novelty, but I wouldn't be in there every night, that's for sure.
I did it during college because we would want to, like, go out and, like, dance and whatnot and, like, have fun. But it was also, I think it's different when it's, like, a college town because they're all on a single street and, like, the street gets closed off.
Yeah, and that's really what, like, college is all about.
Yeah.
And that's where you meet people and you socialize. It's just, so just to drop some of the places that you were involved with, so anybody's of our generation could, I mean, Body English, Sugar. Were you on for Sugar?
Sugar, yep.
That was a good spot, man.
Great spot. Mirage.
What else?
Glow. That was my baby. Bridgeview, Patty's. No, Bridgeview, actually, I was just told Bridgeview has been sold. They're going to knock it down. Good condos there.
Yeah.
You know, I've been there, I was there for 18 years, so I said, Saturdays and Tuesdays, I'd have to hop back and forth for Body English and Bridgeview on Tuesdays. It was, tough time, but at the end of the day, it's what made me happy and made me money, so.
And this, and since you're 17 years old, this has been 100% your full-time
gig.
Okay, I mean, obviously, not to get too personal, but like on a real high level, how does club promotion work from the standpoint of you of the club, like how do club promoters make money?
So basically, we get a percentage of the bar and we take a piece of the door.
You get a percentage of the bar also.
Or we take the whole door or whatever, however we work it.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
And basically, obviously, the better a promoter you are, everything's negotiable.
Yep, everything's negotiable. But so people want the best of the best. So if I come into a room, you know, listen, I've been doing it for that many, over 25 years. People are like, all right, he's experienced. You know, obviously he knows what he's doing. And we're hurting a little bit. Let's give him a night. You know, that's what most owners do. They want you there. They, you know, listen, if they have a Friday night and nobody's going there, they're dying. What are they going to do? You know, think about it.
Yeah.
You know, so they need somebody. They need help. So they contact us and we bring it to the next level.
I mean, the restaurant and club business, my opinion, probably the two most difficult businesses there are.
Yeah.
Right? It's you have a couple of days to basically make the money. If there's bad weather or this or that, and people are always chasing like that next shiny object.
Yep. You're right.
So it's a very, very, very difficult business. I mean, what are really, so it was really all about you get the right crowd there and that's it.
Get the right crowd there, you keep them coming back, and that was it.
Did you ever get involved in clubs on an ownership standpoint? It was always just promotion.
No, I never wanted to own my own nightclub.
Why is that?
Because you're only as good as the next top place that opens up.
I'm with you. I 100% agree. I'm just curious to know what you're going to say.
Listen, look, Mirage and Glow, there was nothing like Glow and Mirage. That was like, that was the best. And the owner was an unbelievable guy. And I'll never forget, he came to us. He's like, listen, I got an offer from Buffalo Wild Wings. And, you know, look, we had a great run. Just things are not the same anymore. You know, we're paying these big DJs to come in Friday nights. We lost our Thursdays. We lost our Saturdays. And he's like, you know, I got an opportunity to get out. He's like, you know, I'm not saying goodbye. I we'll open up something afterwards. And that was it. He sold it. He gave it up. Buffalo Wild Wings is there now. And the owner, he always said, he's like, if I don't have something within a year, I'm going to die. And he actually passed away.
Wow.
Yep. He was actually an unbelievable guy. Very good, very good guy.
How long was he in the nightclub business for?
He was 40-something years. He had the places in Vegas, then he came over here. He did Mirage, he did Glow, we had Glow in Manhattan.
What makes for a great club, in your opinion?
I think the environment. You know, you want to have a great place to party, have fun, a huge place. It's all about the talent that comes in, a DJ playing great music. You're dancing, you're drinking, you're meeting people. That's the perfect scenario.
What are some of the misconceptions you think people have about what you do?
Everyone's probably like, oh, this guy's always filthy rich. Why? Because I have successful parties. It's not always about that. You have expenses every day. You know, people don't realize that. Everyone thinks that you make all this money in the world, but you know, you have expenses like everybody else does, you know, and you have people to pay out that work with you and stuff like that. And people are not spending it like they used to either. You know, and it's times have changed with that. People are not drinking as much. They're doing other things now.
Yeah.
And, you know, listen, that's whatever they want to do, it's their perception and up to them. But, you know, people are not drinking as much. And if they are drinking, they're buying stuff from the outside and trying to sneak it into the inside and going to the bathroom and drink it themselves. So.
Yeah. No, it's interesting because now I go out to even just, you know, just little kind of networking events and no one's drinking. They're eating chocolate and mushrooms in it.
Yep.
Everyone's like everyone's microdosing mushrooms all over the place.
Everyone's getting a little banged up on those things now.
So I guess, I mean, everything has a life expectancy. Nothing really lasts forever. So like any business, right? Like within my real estate business, I was flipping a lot of houses. Then we started building houses. Now we're just wholesaling a lot of houses. So like you always have to change. Yep. To be in a business for as long as you have, you've obviously seen the business change substantially. How have you changed with the business to make sure that there is a business and then keep growing?
I would target on social media the younger crowd. I'd put up ads. I'd hit up, you know, the younger crowd because obviously that's the people that are going to be going out now. You know, the older people are married, kids. They don't want to go out as much as they used to. Their body can't handle it. They got work the next day. They're, you know, it's just, it's different. It's a lot different. So you got to target that younger audience now, the 21 and over.
How do you do it? How do you go out seven nights? Like, listen, I don't think we're old at 42, but I can't eat a pint of ice cream like I used to, bro. Forget about sleeping 3 hours a night and going out seven nights a week.
I don't drink. It's a business to me. Smart. Never drank.
Never get high on your own supply.
Never. And I don't do anything else either.
And you never did?
Never did.
Smart.
It's a business to me.
No, it's smart.
Listen, at the end of the day, I know people want to have fun and all. I'll try to have fun myself, but at the end of the day, it's a business. I got to make my money.
So let me ask you this because, so I work a lot. You don't know a lot about me, but I work a lot. I'm not married. I don't have any kids. Mm-hmm. I have a girlfriend who's great. But when you work like I do and what you do, especially what you do, very hard to like maintain relationships.
100%.
Did that, like personal relationships, has what you've done, you know, hurt that, or is it hard to maintain relationships? I don't know if you're married, if you have kids, or
so. I'm single, but I dated a girl for 11 years. She stood by me, and one day she's like, "Listen, I can't do it anymore." She's like, "You're out all hours of night. You know, it's not fair to me. When are you gonna do this with me? When are you gonna hang out? Blah blah blah." Listen, you have a celebrity coming in that calls you up at 2 a.m, meet me in the city. I'm getting out of bed and going to the city. That's, you know, that's my job. I got to take care of them. And my ex didn't understand that much. She was like, you know, you put everything else first and not me, which rightfully so, I get it. But you knew who I was before you started dating me.
Yeah.
And look, it takes a toll on it. And it took a toll on me and her. And she ended up leaving me. And it's all right. You know, listen, God bless, you know. She's married now, but focused on myself and focused on my business, and that's it.
Yeah, no, I'm saying that, and you know, and thank you for being transparent on that, because a lot of people see what you do or see successful people, and they're like, "That's amazing," they're envious. But there's a lot of sacrifices that come with,
of course,
being successful.
You know,
and you know, we're not like, I'm not an easy guy to date. I say that all the time. Mm-hmm. I say it to my girlfriend all the time. I'm like, "Listen, like, I appreciate you. I know I'm not an easy guy to date." Yesterday, it's Sunday, I'm in the office like building a CRM at 2 o'clock in the afternoon when everyone else is hanging out on the beach. You know, I would imagine it would take an extremely understanding and confident woman to date you, considering you are the man, right?
Around women,
there are women, the most beautiful women in the world wanting to get your attention all the time. It can't be an easy thing.
Yeah, and I never had a weekend off till the pandemic. So I never knew what it was like, you know, going to house parties and hanging out with your family and stuff like that, and hanging out with my godson. You never had that time. You know, it was always, the weekends were your most important part of work, you know?
That's actually an interesting thing that you brought up. Like, what happened to you during the pandemic? You must have liked...
Oh, I enjoyed it. I'm not going to lie.
Did you?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. You know what? I had a lot of time to myself. I got to, you know, play my video games. Went out every night. It just wasn't with a nightclub, but I was out every night. It was just a good, relaxing time. I needed that, you know? And it actually, you know, gave me a better understanding of what my life should be like. You know, you never have a weekend off is a tough one, you know, like you're always there Friday, Saturday, Sunday somewhere.
So it's interesting you say that. I thought it could go either one of two ways. Either you would love it or you'd be like losing your mind because for 20 years you've been going.
Nonstop. And it was like, wow, I'm home on a Saturday. This is great. I can't believe it. Everything's shut down. The world's shut down. Like even if I wanted to do something, I still couldn't do it.
So what is... I think when we start to get to this age, now I start thinking, I'm like, you know what? I love business and I love working and I want to continue to build this and other businesses. But right now I feel like I have a job. Mm-hmm. Meaning if I'm not here every day intimately involved in the business, it doesn't run. Which is kind of like
same thing with me.
Your situation.
Yep.
So right now I'm working on an exit strategy of, you know, I want to be the CEO. I don't want to be, you know, the guy that's in the trenches having to look at every house that thinks like cat pee coming out mm-hmm. with fleas all over me and all the shit that happens on a weekly basis. What's the exit strategy for you? It's like, because none of us can keep doing this at the level we're doing this forever.
You're right. So we have a bunch of younger kids that run the company mm-hmm. that go out every night. They're either in Montauk, the city, or Fire Island. And at the end of the day, it's like you oversee them. I'm not doing as much work as I used to. Like I said, after the pandemic, you took a step back and you look back like, wow, you know, having a Friday, Saturday, Sunday off was unbelievable. But during the summer, people don't realize that your weekdays are shorter than your weekends. That's why like going out on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in the summertime is what everyone does. You know, like, yeah, your weekdays are shorter than your weekends in the summer.
There's more
options on a weekend to like do the beach and hang out, go to like a bar on the beach. It's not like, you know, like it used to be like where everyone's like, oh yeah, we got to be at the nightclub Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You know, it's not like that in the summer. Your weekdays are short. That's why Body English is a Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know, Mirage was a Thursday. Yeah. Posh was on a Wednesday.
Yep.
Sugar was on a Thursday. Damn. You know? So yeah, your weekdays are stronger than your weekends in the summer.
No, that's interesting. So you just like, I mean, I guess every business is the same in the sense that you can come up with like standard operating procedures and you can train people the right way and it'll give you a little bit of freedom.
Yeah, a little freedom, yeah.
So you're not out there on Friday, Saturday, Sundays anymore?
Not as much.
No?
No, it's not. You know, listen, your body takes a toll on it. You don't want to do it. You actually want to take a step back and enjoy your life.
Makes perfect sense. I'm in the same boat. How do you go about finding, training these people to go and do this? Because this isn't...
You build the most popular kid you find. The kid that brings the most girls, you take them and you groom them. And you make them a promoter. That's what we've done. You have to, you know, but at the end of the day, I tell people, nobody's going to do what I used to do, you know?
Yeah.
It's so much easier now. You have social media. Social media is the easiest thing. And text messaging, text blast.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it. It's the easiest thing.
How do you keep those people happy and loyal?
Money. Money talks. They want to earn money and they want to grow. They follow the lead. You know, they have to crawl before they walk.
Yeah.
And I think most of them understand that. You know, you're not just going to be an overnight sensation doing two parties. You got to build yourself.
So for a kid out there who's never promoted, just he's young, likes the scene, you know, doesn't drink, not into drugs, wants to get into the business, what's your advice to him or her?
Host a table, get a few people there, and if you like it, you find us, we'll groom you.
What do you mean by host a table?
Sit there, you know, enjoy, have a table with a few girls.
Okay.
Pour them drinks, get a few bottles. You know, once you do that, and if he likes it, he gets to have a good time, you never know, we'll groom him. We'll take him. Take him under our wing.
Interesting. And what does that process look like? What is kind of like the education of somebody that's coming up in the club promoting world?
It's staying on top of your clientele, basically. You got to stay on top of your clientele. You have to have them out, you know, certain nights. Got it. You know, on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday is your most important. Sundays, people go out. Believe it or not, Sunday's like the strongest night to go out now. Everybody goes out on something.
City and Long Island, or just mostly
just city?
Just the city.
Yeah, Long Island doesn't have the Patty McGee's anymore or those places.
Man, I know.
I was involved in Patty's also.
What are the top city spots right now for a Sunday?
You got Harbor and you got Bounce. The two hot spots.
Yeah.
And we used to have a brunch at a place, what the hell is it called? Oh my God. We had our Sunday brunch at Philippe Chow.
Oh yeah.
It was actually unbelievable. It was a good time, but things happened and we had to move on and we're looking for a new home now.
So basically, it's really interesting because when you think about it, the public wants to know where the hotspots are. You guys have access to all the hotspots.
Access to all the hotspots.
You just need the clientele to bring in to spend money.
Yep.
That makes sense.
And listen, people want to hire you from your experience. They don't want to hire a kid that doesn't know what he's doing. They want somebody with experience.
So talk to me about the celebrity aspect. Like you mm-hmm. mentioned before, you're like, I'll get a call at 2 o'clock in the morning from XYZ celebrity. How does that work? What are they looking for? Tell us some stories if you got them.
They just want to be treated different. They want to be treated like, you know, respected. They want, you know, be somewhere that they're not going to be bothered at. And they want to feel comfortable. So like, I'll give you an example. Robbie Cano is one of my right-hand guys. Robinson Cano used to play for the Mets and the mm-hmm. Yankees. And when he goes out, he just wants to be away from everybody. He wants to have a few, you know, a few drinks. He doesn't want to be bothered. He just wants to be in a corner, and that's what we do with him. You know, so we try to protect him as much as we can. But obviously, there's people out there that notice who he is and want to bother him. But yeah, can I get a picture? Can I get a picture? But I tell him all the time, like, don't take pictures in a nightclub because that's not what you want to do. Like, that's, you know, you're on the Yankees at this time, and you're taking pictures. You think the owner's gonna be happy? You're out, and you have a game tomorrow. You're taking pictures in a nightclub, and they get leaked out. You gotta watch out. And ever since then, he was protective. Never wanted to be bothered. He wanted to be hidden.
How do these guys go about finding you? Is it just word of mouth?
Yeah, it's mostly word of mouth. So, like, all the Islanders tell, like, the guys that are coming in from the other team, like, you got to hit this guy up if you want to go out. Dinner, drinks, party. Just shoot him a text. And next thing you know, your word of mouth is the best thing ever. It's just People keep on talking about you. They want, you know, they hit you up. They're like, oh, you know, I'm a friend of so-and-so. He told me to hit you up. And you do the right thing by them.
Who was your first big celebrity client?
My first big one? I'd say it's... wasn't Robbie. I'd say it was actually Paulie D.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Paulie D was like the biggest
one. From the Jersey Shore?
Yeah, from the Jersey Shore at the time. Yeah, he was great. And then he started DJing for us. It's even better.
How did that come together?
Actually, I knew Snooki since she was like 14, 15. And she used to come out to like DNA, this place in Queens.
So you guys know what we're talking about, right? This is a long time ago. This is like 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, and from knowing her, she's like, yo, I got this kid. You got to call Breeze. He'll take care of you. He came out one night, and then that was it. And next thing you know, we started booking him as a DJ because he was a DJ, and Look, he blew up to what he is now.
Yeah.
So I'm happy for him. You know, he's a good guy too.
Now, you've diversified into the restaurant business, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Talk a little bit about that.
Restaurant business is a little different, but if you could market a nightclub and get people to a nightclub, you could do the restaurant. As long as you know what you're doing in marketing and getting the right food there, people will come. People will follow you.
Bro, that is the toughest business I can imagine.
It is.
Like, razor-thin margins.
Yep.
It is just, like I said.
Now food prices are up and labor costs are up.
So hard to get people to work.
Yep. Nobody wants to work. Nobody wants to work.
So how do you do that? So obviously you come in with partners, I assume?
Yeah, I have partners.
And you handle the promotional side?
I handle the marketing side, and I let my partners do the everyday operations.
Is there more as like, is there a partner that's the chef, or there's someone that just runs the whole thing, brings the chef in, and then you do all the promotions?
Yeah, that's basically, we have this one guy that brings in the chef, and I just do the promotions. It's the easiest job ever. You know, and the only problem is I don't like being at my restaurants, because once you're there and you see people, you know, you feel obligated to give them a drink or something free, and that's not what I want to do. You know, listen, to business at the end of the day. We got to make money, you know? And everything's up these days. Everything's up. You know, food prices are up. The labor costs are up. Liquor is up. Everything's up. Everything. Potatoes. You name it, everything's up. It's crazy.
And like I said, the margins on this stuff are very,
very
thin.
Very thin.
You know, from my understanding, all the articles and stuff I've read on restaurants, you're looking at anywhere between like a 5 to 15% gross margin.
Yep. And you make your money on the liquor, basically.
Yeah.
You know, but depends on what you're serving. You know, like I have a burger bar, and the burger bar is great. Babylon Burger. We started a New York Burger Bar in Massapequa. We have Babylon Burger Bar, and it just does great. People love the burgers, and you know, it's unbelievable.
It seems from what I hear, the simpler the model, the more profitable it is.
Yep, like that's true.
Those super high-end restaurants, not as lucrative.
It's tough.
As
you know, you're paying for a primetime location for a high-end restaurant. The rent's high. You know, it depends on what you're doing. You have, you know, listen, burgers are not, I wouldn't call it high-end, but you know, middle class, you know, it's just, a burger's a burger. It's not, you're not going to an upscale restaurant. You know what you're getting. And some places do these high-end volume places, and it's crazy.
So talk to me about the emotional aspect of it. Obviously things have changed. You have social media, you have YouTube, you have influencers. How, like, what are you doing on the marketing side now that's different to draw people to these places?
Just boosting ads, basically. That's it. It's just boosting ads.
Just boosting
ads. Yep, that's the easiest thing I ever did in my life, was boosting ads.
Any influencer stuff?
Not really. You know, listen, with some outings, we'll do a few influencers, you know, like some athletes, some models. But nothing is like boosting ads. It's the crazy thing, because you get to target your demographics and what age group you're going for. It's like easy. It's unbelievable.
So you're actually running like paid social media ads, or you're just clicking the boost button?
You click the boost button, and basically you just choose what area you want to hit and what demographic you want to hit with ages, and it's the easiest thing ever.
Shit.
Yeah, listen, like I said, back in the day, I used to have to call people's houses, hand out flyers, you know. They made it so easy for us. You know, it's crazy.
No, it makes sense. What are some of the restaurants that you're involved in now?
Babylon Burger Bar.
Okay.
It's in Babylon. I got Ugly Duckling in Long Beach.
Okay. I was there yesterday. Yeah, the place was packed.
Packed
yesterday.
Was it younger or was it older? Older crowd.
It was like, so what do you consider older?
25 and up.
Yes. Yeah, it was more of like a early 30s crowd.
Okay.
I lived in Long Beach for years. Even Long Beach is different. It's not the same.
Long Beach is not the same.
It's not the same.
It's not the same at all.
It's not the same from 20 years ago.
You go down there, I see kids brawling outside in the streets all the time. Like, people think they're tough out there. I'm like, oh, God. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm over that stuff. But, you know, you laugh. You know, listen, the younger kids like to do that, so.
But the Strip was busy.
Yeah, it's been, you know.
Minnesota's, all those places. The Inn.
Yep. They've been having a good summer so far.
What other places are you involved in?
IKEA Kitchen.
Awesome place.
Thank you.
I went there maybe about 3-4 months ago.
Yep.
They make the mozzarella right there at the table.
Yep.
Very good.
Very good. And then we got Borelli's now.
Were you responsible for that TikTok video that blew up that basically...
No, that was
you
Christina.
Know the one I'm talking about?
That was Christina. Yep, with the chicken cutlet bowl.
That's how I found it.
Yep. Christina, she's a genius, actually. She's one of the main owners of the place. And her and her husband have taken that, you know, their concept from Bayshore and really expanded it. Really nice. They did a great job.
Where else? Any other places?
Rich's, and then Patchogue's coming, and there's other locations.
How do you manage all this stuff? Is it just that you have guys under you that are running around? Like,
I have a bunch of guys under me, but you know, it's easy because at the end of the day, you get an email every morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, it gives you the breakdown of every expense. Everything's like basically there. Looking, you look right at it, you're like, oh crap, that's what it is. That's what they did. It's the easiest thing ever. It's all because of the Micros computers or Toast, all the computer systems. They send you the whole breakdown every morning.
So basically, everything's in those systems.
Yep.
Shoot, you know exactly what you're
exactly
making,
yep.
How the door did.
Yep, exactly.
Damn. Nah, man, that's awesome.
Yeah, times have changed.
What does the future hold for you? I'm curious.
I definitely want to go on the West Coast. I definitely I definitely want to live out there. I'm not gonna lie. I want to try something different. I love it out there.
Do
the
you?
Weather, the weather's beautiful. 75 every day.
Yeah, I did
no
it for
humidity,
a show.
You know, it's just a different life.
I lived in Mission Beach, San Diego when I graduated college. I was like, shit, I'm growing up. I got to run away from home. I didn't, you know. So I lived in Mission Beach, San Diego for a while, and it's great.
It's awesome.
It really is.
I love the West Coast.
From the weather standpoint and the accessibility and all that, you have mountains, you have beach. Like, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's a great time, you know, and I like it out there. The weather, like I said, the weather's great. 75, no humidity every day. How do you go wrong?
So are you looking to basically do what you do, keep this business running here, and then go there and do the exact same thing?
Yep.
Start from scratch?
No, not start from scratch. Okay. I have people out there that I want to partner up with probably.
Okay.
You know, it's just like we have our dream hospitality. We expanded to Miami.
Okay.
We're doing Tampa. I want to do it out there. I want to do it out in LA. It's a challenge for me.
Ever thought about managing kids or no?
No.
Nah?
No.
Not for you?
Not for
It's me. Not for everybody. That's
no.
cool.
Well, listen, I have a godson. At the end of the day, I can hand him right back and live on my life. I don't have to worry about I give him right back to them. I'm like, yo, guys, here you go.
I get it, man.
We went to a concert. We went wherever you want to go. Giving you right back.
And you get to be the cool Uncle Breeze.
Yep, exactly.
That makes sense. I have a nephew. My sister had a kid first in our family a year ago. And I'm like, yeah, this is pretty cool.
Awesome, right?
Hang out. Get the kid all doped up on sugar. Have a good time.
Yep.
Here you go.
There you go. Give him right back. Yeah, it's a responsibility. And look, at the end of the day, you know, settling down for me is not in the cards yet. And I'm happy with my life. You know, listen, like most people say, I live the best life, right? Women all around all day long, money. You know, it's great, but at the end of the day, it's just not for me. You know, everyone's like, oh, you got to settle down. My parents are like, oh, when are you going to get married with kids? I'm good.
Yeah. Listen, just because society says you're supposed to be doing it doesn't mean.
Exactly.
You
know, I look at all my friends, half of them are miserable. You know, they're married kids. They're like, oh, I can't do this anymore. I want to go out every night. I'm like, well, going out's not the same anymore. So I'm like, the grass ain't green on the other side. It's not.
No, it's not. Plus, when you're out, it's business.
It is.
It's different. It's business.
And people don't realize, you know, I don't drink or anything. Like, you know, I'm there to make money. I don't care about, you know, partying, having fun, you know, going home with somebody. No, I want to make my money. You know, it's a business.
And that makes
sense. And you have to have a good reputation, too. You know, if people start seeing you drunk or high on something, you know, they're going to be like, look at this jackass, you know, like, start talking bad about you. It's not me.
No, listen, it makes sense. At the end of the day, running and building these places is, I mean, I don't know how club promoters do it, man.
It's hard.
most of the buildings would always change over and be the same, but like the build out on these places has got to be crazy money.
Crazy money.
And
you know, building talents, crazy money.
So what's the average? I mean, you'd probably know. What's the average run on a nightclub? 2 years, 3 years, 4 years?
Mostly a year and a half.
Year and a half.
And it's all about, you know, the place has got to be like a great location. If not, you're gonna be gone like 6 months.
And it's still, so best location.
Parking. Parking is a big thing. You got to have parking. If you're doing something in Long Island, you need parking.
18 months. You have 18 months, and you're basically only open really a couple nights a week. Yep. Is it worth it?
No. That's why I never wanted to own a nightclub. Because you're going to have to change with the times anyway.
Yeah.
Someone's going to open the best night looking nightclub down the block. You know, they're going to be like, oh, well, this guy's doing great numbers here. Let's just build one right next door and make it more modernized. Then what do you do?
No, it's
and then they call me like, hey, you want to leave that place you're at and come work with us? That's how it goes. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's business.
Business, yep. You know, people think it's, you know, they see like all these people going to this one club. They're like, oh, this is easy. We'll just open up something bigger and better next door. We'll take away from what they have.
Plus, a lot of people that own these places, maybe they think it's easier. Maybe they see the glamour of it. It's hard. It's a hard business. It's a very hard business.
Yeah, and nowadays, it's harder because nobody's going out. Nobody's supporting really like they used to. So you're basically starting from scratch.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens in the future. But the city, I guess, the city just has so many people.
Yes.
And it's such a melting pot.
Well, the thing is with the city, you draw from like the five boroughs, you know,
Jersey,
Westchester, Connecticut, they all come down to the city. That's why it's so much easier in the city.
Has the city changed since COVID, the scene?
Yeah, a lot younger.
Why is that?
Probably spending parents' money like usual. You know, just being honest.
No, it's interesting. It's interesting to see how things have changed.
All the kids that go to college in the city, they're definitely either working or getting their parents' money.
Yeah.
You know, it's different. It's a lot different.
Well, listen, we had a good run. You're having an amazing run.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I wish you all the success in the world.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I hope the West Coast thing is everything you hope.
I'm dying to try something. Need a challenge.
Yeah. No,
I want to try something different, you know?
It's good to change it up. Where on the West Coast are you thinking you're going to be? You're going to L.A.?
Definitely L.A.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like L.A. a lot. I get spoiled when I go out there. So.
Yeah,
I love it out there. It's a different different environment out there. It's a little different than New York.
No, the vibe is different. The
vibe is very
The people are different.
People are different. Everybody's different.
The people
and you
are
got
different.
Those big house parties every day going on with all the celebrities and athletes. It's great. There's nothing like it.
You ever get starstruck?
Yeah, actually one person like blew my mind once, and it was Derek Jeter.
Yeah?
You know what? I've met so many people in my life. Never get starstruck. You know, because at the end of the day, they're a normal person. But Derek Jeter, when he shook my hand, I'm like, holy crap. I'm like, you have no idea what this means to me. And he was like, he started laughing. He's like, I'm a normal person. I'm like, I know you are, but you're Derek Jeter.
That's interesting. I was curious about that because considering we were talking about a bunch of celebs before, all these people they meet, is there anybody that really, got starstruck?
You know, growing up watching him play, you always wanted to be Derek Jeter. You always wanted to be Yankee. And he was great. He was actually, what a great guy.
Yeah, no, I've heard great things about him. Yeah. I know a handful of people that have met him, and he did it right. He was always a class act.
Never got involved in anything stupid, no drama.
Yep.
Stayed out of the spotlight. Look who he is. You know? Now he's trying to enjoy himself a little bit. But
retired at 40.
Yep.
Got married, had kids. Yep. He did it right.
He waited till the end. So.
Yeah, that's the right. I mean, it's got to be to be a professional athlete. And to be married and have a family has got to be a difficult thing. He did it right.
Yeah, he did it right. You got to respect the guy. He's just a gentleman. Total gentleman.
Nice. No, that's awesome. Listen, man, I appreciate you coming down.
Thank you. I appreciate
sharing your story.
Me. Thank you.
Body English Tuesday.
Yep.
Tomorrow, the last one. I'm going to get a bunch of my friends together and go. I feel like it's like the end of an era.
Yeah, it's done. But don't forget, we'll have somewhere else. Don't worry. There's always another place. Don't worry.
I appreciate you, man.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
That's right. It's a wrap.
That was it. Yeah, if you want to come forward.